Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service of worship this morning, and a welcome to all those who are joining us on the live stream this morning. It is good to welcome you here to worship at St. John's. A couple of brief announcements as we move into worship. Just a reminder to folks that throughout the month of, the slide will continue to stay June just because I'm too lazy to change it. But throughout the month of June, we've been collecting canned items for the food bank, and especially baked beans. The food bank goes through about 90 cans of baked beans a day. So that's one of their kind of solid needs. And so we will be continuing to collect those for a couple more weeks because you haven't filled my table with baked beans yet. So when that happens, we'll make a change. And things do slow down just a little bit here during the summer months. Speaking of summer months and the slowing down, many of you will have plans to be other places during the summer. So it's just a reminder from the church office that if you can give your offerings before you go on your summer adventures, that will be helpful to us as we continue in ministry throughout the summer. I have a note here to myself about an announcement. I can't remember what it was. Oh, that's what it is. You may have noted the announcement on the screen. Now that the summer is here, things have slowed down. There aren't as many meetings and things to tie up the minister's time. It's a good time to catch up on some congregational visiting. So you may be hearing from me over the next little while about arranging a time to come for a visit. If you would like to see me, don't wait for me to call you. You can call me first. I'd be happy to make sure that we get to you as well. So if you would like to have a visit from the minister, give the office a call and we'll set up a time for that. And finally, a good news rejoicing announcement, which we always need. And that is that I'm pleased to share that several of our members have received permanent residency status of late, and they're all very, very excited about it. So we're very pleased that Sarah and Elizabeth and Jennifer and Catherine have all received those good news notes from the Government of Canada, and we're pleased with them. The next thing that means is that they're on the lookout for housing outside of the Dev Hotel. And so if you are aware of homes for rent or for apartments with good landlords, let us know here at the church office, and we can share that with those who are looking for future accommodation. And always we come into the presence of our Lord, lighting the Christ candle as a visible sign that Christ is the light of the world and that we, his people, seek to walk in his ways. The call to worship for this morning is a responsive call and will appear before you on the screens. Let us stand as we come into the presence of our Lord this morning. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases.
God's mercies never come to an end.
They are new every morning.
Great is your faithfulness, O God.
Weeping may linger for the night,
but joy comes with the morning, for you hear us when we cry.
So we will praise you and will not be silent.
Sing praises, O you faithful ones, and give thanks to God's holy name.
Let us come before God this morning in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you are always more ready to hear than we are to pray, and to give more than we either deserve or desire. May we come to know your presence in this hour, even when you seem absent to us, And may we seek your unexpected responses. Embolden us to keep praying through dismay and disappointment, for the Holy Spirit speaks for us when we are unable to pray. Amen. We come in praise this morning, singing our opening hymn, "From the Depths, O Lord, I Cry." The hymn will appear before you on the screens. It is only by the power of God that we are able to stand against evil. Trusting in God's grace, let us confess our sin as we say together the prayer as it appears before you on the screen. Trusting you does not always come easy, O Lord. When each day we are faced with the ugliness of the world, we do not believe that love conquers fear. We are not convinced that power comes through weakness. We cannot conceive how you could heal us. Forgive our lack of faith, O God, and renew our trust in you, for we would be disciples of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Friends, let us stand firm in our faith. For we know that we have been covered by the saving grace of God and are ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. Once more, we turn in praise as we sing hymn 705, God Who Made the Earth, hymn 705. I'm going to do a surprise. I'm going to come down to this side of the communion table this morning. You all can sit. Every now and then, I just need to talk with the guys at the back. Just shuffling things up, and because my young person this morning is on this side. Good morning, Dom. How are you this morning? It's been a big week in Dom's life. Big week in many lives for a few people here in the congregation, right? What happened this week, Dom? Last week for Dom? See, I drive past the school every day, and there are always teachers there. So one knows. Last week was? The last week of school! The greatest day of the year, isn't it? Don't have to get up for the bus anymore. Don't have to do homework anymore. Pretty cool. Teachers, feeling the same way? I know there's no bus involved in the teachers getting to school in the morning, but nice to not have to do that for a couple of months. Cool. And I was thinking about it, because we always think the last day of school is really good, right? Look forward to it all year long. But as I was thinking about what we're going to talk about with the parents here this morning, the other adults, I was also reminded that there are some things about school, about the school year, so therefore, kind of by extension school, that we miss a little bit too, isn't there? Are there things that you'll miss over the summer because you're not going to school? What do you think you'll miss? Pardon? Kim? Jim. We miss our favorite subjects. I'm moving around too much for Brian. Am I good, Brian? I don't want to walk off the screen for the people on the live stream. Gym class, those subjects that we love, and even though they're at school and they're run by a teacher, they're still kind of good, right? How about your friends? The thing that I really missed over the summer when I was younger and in school was my friends from school, right? The people that you see every day and you hang out with, and then all of a sudden they live on the other side of town or out in the country or wherever they may be where you're not, and you don't see them for the whole summer. And you think, I really miss my friends. And so you look forward to going back to school, not because of the homework, but because you get to see your friends. Right. So this morning, we're talking about big churchy word, lament. There's a slide It's not there now, but there's a slide, lament, that you're going to see all morning here in church. And lament is when we give words to our feelings of sorrow or the things we miss, right? So, you know, tomorrow you wake up and you go turn to your mom and you go, I really miss my friend, insert name here. For me, when I was in school, it was my friend Ron. I really miss my friend Ron. I wish I could see him, but, you know, especially, you don't drive yet, do you? No, Dom doesn't drive you. Especially until you have that freedom of wheels. It's tough to go and just see your friends sometime. And so that's what lament is. And lament's an important part of worship. If we pay attention to what we read in the Bible sometimes, we hear a lot of people expressing their sorrow to God, to Jesus in the stories, and sharing with him their need for his help. And that's a form of lament. And then Jesus, of course, hears them. He hears them in prayer or in their calling to him in the streets, as the adults in worship will hear in a little while in the Bible story. And Jesus responds. And that's our reminder of our faith, that when we have things that are troubling us, things that are bothering us, we can give them expression. We can lament to God. Sometimes God's the only person who really wants to hear us when we're lamenting, right? Our sadness and our suffering. And Jesus will hear us, and we may not always get the answer that we want to that prayer, but we know that he's always with us and always willing to hear us when we're sad and in times of trouble. And that's a great source of rejoicing for those who believe in Jesus. So that's my thought for the morning. Glad to have you here this morning, Dom. Really cool. And I think Trish is going out. I think there's a cool craft this morning. So have fun, Dom, and we'll see you later. Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Holy, holy, holy God, guide us by the Spirit of truth to hear the word of life that you speak. And may we give all glory, honor, and praise to your threefold name. We pray all these things through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Good morning. The first reading is from 2 Samuel chapter 1, verses 1 and verses 17 to 27. After the death of Saul, when David had returned from defeating the Amalekites, David remained 2 days in Ziklag. David intoned this lamentation over Saul and his son Jonathan. He ordered that the song of the bow be taught to the people of Judah. It is written in the book of Jashar. He said, "Your glory, O Israel, lies slain upon your high places. How the mighty have fallen. Tell it not in Gath, proclaim it not in the streets of Ashkelon, or the daughters of the Philistines will rejoice. The daughters of the uncircumcised will exult. You mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew or rain upon you, nor bounteous fields, for there the shield of the mighty was defiled, the shield of Saul, anointed with oil no more. From the blood of the slain, from the fat of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan did not turn back, nor the sword of Saul return empty. Saul and Jonathan, beloved and lovely, in life and in death they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. O daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you with crimson in luxury, who put ornaments of gold on your apparel. How the mighty have fallen in the midst of the battle. Jonathan lies slain upon your high places. I am distressed for you, my brother Jonathan. Greatly beloved were you to me. Your love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. How the mighty have fallen and the weapons of war perished." Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord.
Lord, hear my voice. Let my ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications.
If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand?
But there is forgiveness with you, so that you may be revered.
I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I hope.
My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning, more than those who watch for the morning.
O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is great power to redeem.
It is he who will redeem Israel from all its iniquities.
In the third reading, now as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in utmost eagerness, and in our love for you, so we want you to excel also in this generous undertaking. I do not say this as a command, but I am testing the genuineness of your love against the earnestness of others. For you know the generous act of our Lord Jesus Christ, and though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. And in this matter, I am giving my advice. It is appropriate for you who began last year not only to do something, but even to desire to do something. Now finish doing it, so that your eagerness may be matched by completing it according to your means. For if the eagerness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has not according to what one does not have. I do not mean that there should be relief for others and pressure on you, but it is a question of a fair balance between your present abundance and their need, so that their abundance may be for your need, in order that there be a fair balance. As it is written, the one who had much did not have too much, and the one who had little did not have too little.
Let us sing the hymn number 657 in the Book of Praise, Woman in the Night. Number 657.
Spend from giving love.
morning's gospel reading, taken from the gospel according to Mark, reading Mark chapter 5, verses 21 to 43. Let us listen for God's word as it is given in Mark chapter 5, beginning at the 21st verse. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the sea. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue, a man named Jairus, came, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged Jesus repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, so that she may be made well and live." So Jesus went with him. And a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhage for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. For she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she had been healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd who is pressing around you on all sides. How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." And he allowed no one to follow him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house where the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, only sleeping." And they laughed at him. Then he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the child got up and began to walk about. She was 12 years of age. At this, they were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's pointless. As we enter into this gospel story this morning, there is a faint echoing sound through the streets where Jesus walks. It's pointless. The reality of all of those people who in the gospel stories come to meet Jesus and who plead for him to intervene in their lives are all people who have reached the point in their lives where all hope is gone. Jesus never gets asked to heal the stubbed toe or the skinned knee. No, those are things that can be done by others. Those who come to Jesus in the gospel story come seeking miraculous intervention. They do so because they've tried everything else. They have gone to everyone else, and no one has been able to heal them. It's pointless. The woman with the hemorrhage reaches out to touch the hem of Jesus' robe because she has no other option. Mark tells us in her story, she had endured much by many physicians and had spent everything that she had. She was no better. And in fact, she was only getting worse. This was it. To tap into the healing power of the Almighty or to give up all hope altogether. That is what she is waiting for on that day. And then there's Jairus, the leader of the synagogue. He comes because his daughter is gravely, deathly ill. And he didn't know what to do anymore. He was all out of hope, out of all options, and he knew it. And so he had set out from his home and stood on the street where he hoped that Jesus might pass by, waiting for healing for his daughter. Suffering and sadness are an unavoidable part of our lives. And from time to time, we are confronted by such overwhelming hopelessness that it is easy to say, like the psalmist, "Out of the depths, I cry to you, O Lord." Broken relationships, the mourning of loved ones, the diagnosis that you have been avoiding or fearing for a loved one, economic pressure, war and conflict around the globe, and from time to time, yes, even our own personal sin. It's an unending shopping list of despair. And when we run out of all of the other options, we find ourselves waiting for God and praying that God will heal us. Countless times in the 35 years that I've been in ministry, I have read or I have heard the Old Testament theologian Walter Brueggemann make the case that we need to spend more time in the Psalms of Lament. Psalms like 130 that we read this morning. Because of their centrality in the canon of Scripture, but also their centrality in the lives of God's people. I cannot recall where I found it in my reading for this week, but I know I read it somewhere. But one scholar noted, the Scripture contains more references to suffering and lament than it does to healing and thanksgiving. Think about that. It surprised me when I read that this week, that the Scriptures contain more references to suffering and lament than to healing and thanksgiving. But if you do think about it, it kind of makes sense. Indeed, so much of the thanksgiving that we find in Scripture, in the stories of Jesus in the Gospel, where Jesus reaches out and touches the lives of people, the things that we remember most about Jesus' life, all of those appeals that we hear, the appeals for healing, like this morning, are tied to people's lament and people's sorrow, their hurts, and their burdens. And so this morning I invite you to follow along with me and consider the place of lament in our lives, in our faith, and in our worship. In an article that appeared in Reformed Worship magazine in 1993, Walter Brueggemann, who you get to hear a couple of times this morning, noted that by ignoring the Psalms of Lament, he is my favorite theologian, you should have, or biblical writer, you should have figured that out by now. I've been here 5 years. Brueggemann notes in that article that by ignoring the Psalms of Lament in our worship and devotional life, we deny the reality that human need and anger are persistent and profound, are as persistent and profound as they actually are. Indeed, I think it's safe to argue that many of the beloved passages of Scripture, passages like those we read from Mark this morning, are impossible to believe in if we do not first acknowledge the hopelessness in our world and the hopelessness of those who live in it. That's what it is at the heart of the Psalms of Lament, and Psalm 130 being a prime example of one of those. The psalmist spends no time telling us what the particular circumstances are that has brought this speaker in the psalm to raise his lament to the Lord, in which this, those that circumstance in which he finds himself. We do not know what exactly constitutes these depths from which he cries out, but we know the despair from which he cries. Maybe that is why we are not told the particularities of it all. We do not need to know the author's circumstances because we can place ourselves inside that very psalm. By leaving the particularity out, we are invited to find ourselves there and to know, and to see in those words our own cries for help. The psalm is not just the cry of the of some author thousands of years ago, but rather it is an expression of our own suffering and our own need. That's why we say the Psalms in worship every week, because the Psalms speak not just to a historic faith, but into our own hearts, our own rejoicing, and our own sorrows. The psalm then goes on from there to articulate both the need and the dependence upon God. If you, O Lord, should mark our iniquities, Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness in you, so that you might be revered. As we do in worship each week, the psalmist acknowledges here in this psalm our unworthiness to stand in the presence of our Lord. If God was a God who held our sins against us, if God remembered every offense that we ever committed against God or our neighbor, well, then we would certainly dwell in hopelessness. But we know. We know from Scripture and Scripture's great witness that God does not hold our iniquities against us or turn a blind eye to our suffering, but rather the God we worship is a gracious God and a merciful God. And therefore, we can indeed express our sorrow and lament before the Lord because we know that God will listen. And that God will respond. The psalmist goes on. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchman waits for the morning. More than the watchman waits for the morning. In historical and biblical times, the watchman stood on the walls of the city at night to ensure that thieves and marauders did not come close. It was, amongst other things, the most terrifying time of the day because bad things happened in the darkness of the night. And so those who were elected to watch through the night waited for the morning. And how much isn't that true even for us today? That we can cruise through most of the day and we can ignore and forget the challenges and the problems of our lives, but at 3 o'clock in the morning, when the TV is off and the lights are out and your phone is downstairs charging because you're not supposed to charge it next to your bed, it keeps you awake. But while you're laying awake, not distracted, then all of the burdens of life in the world start to creep in, don't they? We lay in bed and we worry. And we wait for the morning. We eagerly place our trust in God and wait for him to drive away the darkness of despair, and we long for the new dawn to come upon us just like a very new sunrise. As we hear these passages today, let us remember that our God is a safe and a trustworthy God. One who, as we mentioned with Dom earlier, one who will listen to us in our time of despair and be with us to strengthen us on the journey. So often we want to think of God as simply being the God of blessing, that if you're faithful enough, you'll be blessed and nothing will ever go wrong in your life. I would argue nothing is further from the truth. A God who can deliver us a life with no worry, with no burden, isn't really a very powerful or very comforting God. The power of God and God's love is that not that he keeps us from all our troubles, but his assurance that even in the midst of us, even in those times when we feel most alone, God walks with us. I know I've shared this story once or twice before, probably with the Bible study group, so it may be safe in this setting. But I remember a number of years ago in my former congregation, after conducting a funeral one day, I had buried Dad a couple of years ago, and a couple of years later, Dad passed away as well, and the first time I was covering for the United Church minister in town. Might have been the second time, too. He might have been out of town for both of these particular funerals. But it was a family that was split, as many of our families are, across the denominational divide. Some of them were Presbyterians, and so I knew them well, and some of them were United, and I knew a little less well. But one of the daughters-in-law came up to me following the funeral during the time of lunch, and she said, "You know, as I was listening to the funeral message this morning, it dawned on me that our faith is never more important, never more real than when it is expressed at the time of the funeral." That God's love is never more fully displayed than God when God walks with us in our sorrow, in our grief, in our worry, and God assures us that we are not alone, but that we have been created so that God might love us and that we might love God. And it all begins from when we start, when we express that most basic need, the need of lament, and the need for God to walk with us. Thanks be to God for all the good things that he does for us, but most especially for his love. Amen. Friends, you know the generous act of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sake he became poor, so that by his poverty we might become rich. Sisters and brothers, let us give generously of our goods and of our lives in imitation of our Lord and Savior. Our tithes and offerings will now be received. Let us pray. Most holy God, who hears our prayers and answers them, and gives us more than we can ask or imagine, accept these offerings and use them to your glory, that even now we might imitate your coming reign of justice, peace, and love in the world. All for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen. Friends, knowing that God hears our prayers and trusting in the Spirit who intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words, let us come together this morning saying in prayer with the response, out of the depths we cry, O Lord, hear our prayer. Let us pray. Lord God, death is all around us. The world that you have created groans with the weight of it. Hear us as we pray this morning for your warring world, for those who live under war's dark veil in Ukraine, Israel, Gaza, Yemen, and Sudan, for countries in turmoil like Haiti, Myanmar, Kenya, and Taiwan. Out of the depths we cry, O Lord, hear our prayer. The rulers of the nations of this world need your wisdom, O Lord. Oppression and injustice prevail in too many places. Hear our prayers for the leaders of our world, that they might set aside selfish ambition and strive for a just and fair sharing of the world's resources. We pray for wisdom as our leaders struggle to respond to climate change, immigration, housing, and extremism. Out of the depths, we cry, O Lord, hear our prayer. Your church, O God, is divided. We fight with each other and splinter. Hear our prayers for the peace and unity of the church. Free us from sloppy interpretations and trite phrases, so that the words we say and the actions we undertake might show forth the glory of your love. Out of the depths we cry, O Lord, hear our prayer. Your children suffer, O Lord. They are hungry and can find no rest. Hear our prayers for those who are poor or who have no homes. Help us to see that economic justice here on earth is part of your kingdom justice in heaven. Recommit us to the work of reconciliation with our First Nations, and together may we work for the health and healing of this land in all its aspects. Out of the depths we cry, O Lord, hear our prayer. We are sick, Lord, and some of us are dying. Hear our prayers for healing and peace. As Jesus' power healed the woman with hemorrhage, give hope and well-being to those who suffer from chronic illness and pain. Calm their fears and ease their suffering. Be with those who are ill and in hospital, the aged and those who are facing difficult decisions. Out of the depths we cry, O Lord, hear our prayer. Our hearts are troubled, O God. Guide us until we find our rest in you. Hear now our secret prayers that we hold before you in the silence of our hearts. Out of the depths we cry, O Lord, hear our prayer. We give you thanks, O God, for you are faithful and your love knows no end. Gather our prayers and conform them to your will. We pray in Jesus' name. Hear us now as we continue to pray in the manner that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing praise for this morning is number 324 in the Book of Praise. Great is thy faithfulness. Hymn 324.
There is no shadow.
And now let us go in peace, trusting in God, even where we have not seen. And may God, our guardian, protect you, Christ, the healer, restore you, and the Holy Spirit sustain you this day and forevermore. Amen.